With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us for another edition of Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we're taking up our subject where we left off yesterday with a study in the doctrine of the wrath of God. You'll know in Romans chapter 1, Paul begins there with the book, the text proper, by saying, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And yesterday, we looked at this path of hardening that occurs in the heart of the sinner. He starts in a path of sin. He goes on to saying he is not sinning presently, and then, of course, that he's never sinned. And there's this hardening path that Ephesians chapter 4 describes as being past feeling. Well, the Apostle Paul has been presenting to us that God is not far and God is not removed from this whole process. One of the ways in which his wrath is revealed is his giving over people to their sin. You'll notice he says that in Romans chapter 1. Therefore, because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, God gave them over to a debased mind, all these things there that are listed in Romans chapter 1. So you have people on this path of sin that moves from in one time being soft about the sin, all the way moving to the point of never hearing any correction, and finally being so hardened in it that they don't think anything is wrong, basically saying what the people in Malachi's day said, good is evil and evil is good. And those perversions bring about total misery in this life, which Paul says is the revelation of God's wrath. I said yesterday I would go down and speak at rescue missions when I was in California and have the opportunity to preach the gospel. And I would say to many of them, do you want to be freed from this? Some and many of them were caught in a life of drugs, some with AIDS, some controlled by alcohol, heroin addiction, I mean, you name it. And every single one of them, every time I talked with them, wanted to be free. They hated what they were stuck in. They were in total misery and they couldn't get out. They were completely given over to it. And you know, we watch the news every night. We see this misery that people are living in and they die in it. Their lives are misery and anguish, and the effects of sin bring about this misery. All the consequences, the grand ends of that sin brings that misery. I referenced yesterday that wrestler who killed himself and then his wife and his child in the process, and then he took his life. You know, we think, why does that happen? It's a revelation that somebody has been given over. I mean, it's a terrible witness as to a testimony as to what happens to us when we run from the Lord and continue to harden ourselves in our sins. And there's a point at which God says, that's it. He himself hands us over, in the sense meaning he lifts restraint. He lets the logical consequences come with the sin that we're pursuing. And that's part of the revelation of his wrath. That's why I want to say today we plead with our young people. When they start down a path of rebellious sin, fornication, whatever, and they begin to justify certain things, the plea is stop while you can. Once you get to the point of total numbness to this and live in it without any real conviction that what you're doing is wrong, you face the very real possibility that God himself will exercise his wrath and give you over to it to the point of no return. We don't know when that is. Only God knows that. But the fact is, in Romans 1, there's three statements there. God himself gives people over. We have to deal with that. You know, that's why I want to say the normal path God chooses to work through is raising children in homes of believers. The abnormal thing that occurs in society is when some notorious sex offender or drug addict is saved, simply because they become so hardened in their sin that the wrath of God has typically usually fallen upon people. But that's why we preach the gospel, and we never know what the Lord will do with it, may pull a sinner out of that. And we praise the Lord for his sovereign grace. But Paul says to us today, the wrath of God is revealed. Right now, look all around you at how people are given to their sin and misery. And that's why church discipline is important today. You know, years ago they'd said church discipline is the mark of a true church. Today it's foreign. Nobody exercises church discipline because it's said to be unloving, uncaring, and so sinners continue in their paths, right? Well, it's the church's last great attempt to help and stop the sinner from being totally given over to their sin. All of us are but a step from running from God. And it's wonderful that he's put that in place to show his mercy upon sinners. It's ironic how people think that doing nothing is showing love. I mean, it's hard to exercise discipline as a church body, to make statements that somebody is living in sin. But without doing nothing, they're the ones quickest to get to this point of return. When people just walk away angrily and reject the truth, they are quickest to get to this point. We show the most love when we discipline, praying that God will honor this and draw out true repentance before the sinner is gone. So why does God exercise his wrath in this way? I want to spend a little bit today and tomorrow talking about this. He says in verse 18, the reason he gives is because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress here in Romans chapter 1:18 literally means that they hold down the truth in their unrighteousness. So it's blatant disregard of God's law and suppressing what they know to be true, when God has said time and time again, don't do it. Now here's the amazing thing. What does God hold forth here as the truth everyone knows? Well, he holds out two things. Every sinner, even unbeliever in this world right now, has two things that demonstrate that there is a God and that they are accountable. What are they? Well, Romans chapter 1, verse 19, he outlines that it's general revelation or creation and our consciences. He says in verse 19, because what may be made known of God is manifest or evident among them, for God has shown it to them. Look, there are certain things that are clearly seen, God says. God has done something very clear that no one on this earth can deny it's clearly seen. What is it? Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So in other words, creation all around us tells us that there is a God. And it doesn't just tell us empty things. It tells us certain things about God. It tells us that God is omnipotent, meaning that he's all-powerful, and his eternal power is evident, and even his eternity. Though hardened man tries to tell us to accept, by faith, might I add, that the world was simply banged together, the real truth is that they are suppressing in unrighteousness that truth that creation tells us that there is a divine God of heaven and earth who made all of these things and therefore is himself eternal without beginning or end. I mean, you think of something like Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Words. Creation tells us something about God. You know, I'd often go in California to beautiful places in Yosemite and Sequoia National Forest. And in Yosemite, of course, stood Half Dome, and in Sequoia National Forest stood General Sherman, this magnificent tree, this Sequoia tree standing there. It would make anyone standing there look small. And people from all over the world would come to study these sites. What amazed me is that they would take pictures, they would try to climb Half Dome on the back end, and I would most assure that most of these people were not Christians. They would come from all over the world, and they would study it with fascination. What is Paul saying when we see this? God has shown it to them. When these people look up, and when unbelievers look up, when the world looks and see the Grand Canyon, or it looks up at Half Dome, or it sees General Sherman, that revelation gave them enough truth to know that there is an eternal, invisible, all-powerful God who created these things, and that behind them stands this divine author and creator, so that when anyone steps out in the morning from their homes and smells the fresh air and hears the birds singing and the dew on the ground and new formations in the sky, and they look over to the mountains and they are covered with snow, or next season they're rocky, all of this, Paul says, renders man without excuse. You hear that in Romans 1. It says, all of these things, his creation, his eternal power and Godhead are evident in this creation so that they are without excuse. The revelation produces a certain knowledge that has some sort of bearing on the conscience. They are able to study it. They are able to reflect upon it and then take in that data into the mind, and that produces some sort of conviction that there is a God. And Paul says, these things leave them without excuse. The unbelieving world is without excuse just by what is made. James Boyce, of course, summarizes this well. He says, basically, it's a knowledge of awareness. Nature reveals God in such a way that even without the special revelation of God that we have in the Bible, all men and women are at least aware that God exists and that they should worship him. This awareness, of course, will not save them, but it is sufficient to condemn them if they fail to follow nature's leading, as they could and should do, and seek out the true God so revealed. When I was a teacher, this was the real point of contention. Nobody, we say, can be saved without God's special revelation, without the gospel of grace, without the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. General revelation does not tell us that we need a savior and a mediator. But there's no saving knowledge or that general revelation produces. But in special revelation, the word of God tells us the way that sinners can be reconciled. My students would every semester ask me, well, what about that poor tribesman somewhere in the farthest end of the earth who can't hear the gospel? Are you saying they're not going to be saved? I would go to Romans 1. What does Paul say? Well, they would say, he says, clearly they can look at creation and see some knowledge of God, enough to render them without excuse, right? And they would say, and they would agree. It states that here. Then I would ask, what does God say they do with that knowledge because of sin? They suppress it, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice that darkening process. Who is the answer today? Well, it's in special revelation. That's why we proclaim Christ and him crucified. That's why we preach the gospel, that people might be brought out of darkness into the light of the truth, and be saved from their sins and from the wrath of God. One of our great convictions at the Linden United Reformed Church is that our worship should be informed by the Word of God and not by the consumerism of our culture, which so many churches have caved into today, trying to entertain people and tickle their ears. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times where we promise to preach Christ in season and out of season and fill you with the Word of God. Join us this Sunday. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you may give us a call, 318-0429. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.